Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the very first day of the second month, Anno Domini 2020. And you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Mark Murphy.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Hold on a second. Who was that last person who spoke? Why, that was Mr. Mark Murphy, the president of Greenlight Networks, who has joined us today to talk about the various things going on in the internet service provider world. Welcome, Mark, and thank you.
Thanks, Nick. Great to be here with you and the guys. It's been too long. Happy to be back.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. And we're going to start with our news item before we talk to Mark. If you want to talk to Mark, I'll get there. Greenlight, as you may have vaguely heard at some point in your life, is a company that provides fiber-based internet access to the home and businesses with speeds ranging from 500 megabits per second to 2 gigabits per second for home use and others for business use. They're expanding all over Western New York, and Mark is here to talk about the internet connectivity scene here, the future of internet and on-demand entertainment, where he sees it all going in the future. That's all news to him. If you'd like to talk to Mark about the internet and the future of it all, give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. However, if you're calling just to whine about why you don't have it yet, we will hang up on you. Just so you understand, that's how that's going to work. You're welcome.
I will be dumping.
You will be dumping people. All right, so our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is how happy are you with your home ISP? Your choices are insanely happy, pretty happy, happy, a bit disappointed, frustrated, angry, and despairing, and of course, other. So far, we've got 22 votes, and happy, pretty happy, are numbers 1 and 2, which is pretty interesting. Of course, if you said other, we would love to have you explain what you mean by that in the forums. And you get to the forums by going to soundbites.org, bites with a Y. Scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff. You'll see the forums. That's the first link, the green underlined links there. And the second forum down is the poll discussion. And currently, at least, the first item under poll discussion in the forums is 1 Feb 20. How happy are you with your home ISP?
And you got it to 20 this week.
We got what?
The poll is 2020.
2020. And I did this year's poll this week. Last week I said 19. 2019. Because you got to make that mistake at least once. I haven't done it on a check yet. but I did it here for the.
Well, are you doing there? Are you putting 2020 there?
Yeah, 2020.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, my checkbook already has
the 2-0 in front of it.
2-0 in front of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
I remember when they came with 19s.
Yeah. You're still a puppy here, just so you know. just so you understand that. At any rate, so we have Mark here, and as I said, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, 966-5299, toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And Mark, just to put you on the spot where you can lift up the mic for yourself if you prefer, rather than bending over. Mark is a tall guy. How tall are you?
6'4", 6'5", in the program, though.
Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot right away because this is the question everybody has on their minds. What's the process by which neighborhoods get priority? Or maybe that's the wrong term. get, there's a process from maybe to on our way. And what is that process?
The process hasn't changed a whole lot from when we started in terms of it's still based on customer demand. So from the get-go, we started with the premise that, that Google did with their fiber business that, you know, we want to prioritize our construction based on where we're going to serve the most people the fastest. And ultimately, it doesn't matter where the neighborhood is in Monroe County. Chances are, as long as we're within a mile of somebody else's fiber that we partner with, chances are we can get there, and we have. So we've announced now online on our website our construction schedule for the next 6 months. And that's something that we really haven't done before, and we're just trying to be more transparent so we can let people know what our plans are. And I think now our team is in general is getting a lot better at identifying where we're going and talking about that, and we're able to be a lot more transparent with that. And the other part of that really is the partnership we announced at the end of last year with LaChase Construction. And so that's got us significantly better organized and able to manage those projects better. So I think right now we're going to be on a cadence where about every 3 months we're going to be able to announce, you know, where we're going to be 6 months from there and keep that going. So it still goes back to, you know, where we're seeing demand. And if you go to the other thing we put out on our website now that we didn't have before is an interactive map. We've got some really sharp folks from the GIS world that we've hired over the last year, and they've done a really good job of putting that map out there and leveraging different tools so that we can, again, be more transparent, put that information out where people can find it more easily and readily, and keep that up to date as much as we can.
And I appreciate that. Not that I care. I've already got it. But I appreciate that because there used to be a time when there were half a dozen different unofficial maps, but they were never up to date.
Right.
So, for example, at one point, my neighborhood was listed at like 40%, and I got to that map through Greenlight. So I was like, that can't be right.
Yeah, so we've tried to clean that up and just make it easier for people to find out where that is. And then, you know, it's still kind of the same things that we'll run across to occasionally in construction. If we've got to cross a street or get to a pole, is an example in your neighborhood where the poles are in people's backyards.
Right.
At some point, we've got to get an easement to get back to that pole line. And if for some reason one of your neighbors doesn't want to offer that, then we can't go there. We're not going to do an eminent domain procedure on anybody because that's not in line with our culture and who we are. We want to be welcomed into the neighborhoods that we're going to. And there's just some cases that either that house on that street is really the best or the only place for us to get to that pole line. And if we can't do it, we can't do it.
Right. And that's not up to you at all.
Right.
As you said. Yeah, that makes sense.
And we've now got a team of about four people that are out there going out, knocking on doors, contacting neighbors to get easements every day. And so that team has grown considerably as well to allow us to go faster.
I remember when you came into our neighborhood, you had to get the guy next door to me and get his okay. I threatened his life. That worked out.
We actually had a customer once. They lived on the street corner, and it was a different service provider. But she had their service, wouldn't let them dig up her yard to run the line down the rest of the street. And she was proud of that fact. What the heck? Just annoying everybody. So I think what they ended up doing is they had to go across the street and go around the other side.
Well, what I have found over the years is people who are powerless in their own lives, the minute you give them a tiny little bit of power of any sort, it goes to their heads. Mm-hmm. I get it. I don't like it, but I get it. And another question I had for you, just because it annoys me, everywhere I go, I'm carrying a Chromebook, and there are places where I can't get connectivity. Have you guys thought at all about wireless? I mean, you're everywhere in the city. Is there a way to add wireless? Go ahead.
We do think about it, and I think, you know, ultimately to provide the wireless, you need fiber to get there. So, you know, up to this point, and from a cost and acquiring spectrum, if you want to do not acquiring the cable company, but acquiring the bandwidth to do it.
Yeah.
You can do it with unlicensed or licensed. we've looked at it at this point from a cost perspective. It's going to cost us, we think, just about it just as much to run the fiber to the house as it is to do the wireless. It's something that we continue to look at, and obviously we're aware of 5G, and we think we're in a good position to help support that at some point, because they need fiber too to get to these neighborhoods. And you know what we're doing, the construction aspect of this and the planning involved and getting the permitting done with both the municipalities and then the utility companies is really, really hard work, and it takes a long time, and there's a process that you've got to follow, and so whether it's us doing it or whether it's the wireless companies or whomever else, everybody's got to go through a very similar process. The only difference with us is we're bringing the fiber all the way into the house as opposed to doing wireless.
Right. And what people have a difficulty understanding is that most of your delays are bureaucratic.
Yes. If we did not have to deal with the time frames associated with the utility companies in particular now, we would have been done in Rochester.
Right.
Because now we've got the capital piece taken care of thanks to Mr. Golisano and his support.
God bless him.
We've got the, God bless him is right. And then we've got the construction part nailed down with LaChase Construction. So frankly, it's now just a function of going through the process to get on the poles that is the long pole in the tent. And it's a very long pole and it's difficult. And, you know, the utility companies are not, they've made it very clear they're not here to help us expedite this build out.
No, I understand that. And so, folks, when you think about why your neighborhood isn't done yet, think bureaucracy, not hardware. And they can hire 100 million guys with pliers. If that's all it took, I personally know 100 million guys with pliers. So you can find them very easily, and they're all always looking for work. That's not the issue. The issue is bureaucratic, and if you're angry with the folks at Greenlight about that, it's not them. That's not where the issue is. So be aware of that, and be aware that I guess if you're going to yell at anybody, yell at the bureaucracy, not at a guy like Mark. You're the sharp end of the spear, but you're not the haft of the spear. There's probably
a less violent term
somewhere. Yes. There's an analogy. But yeah, so again, give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Talking about the how do I put this? The internet landscape, yes, but really the entertainment landscape. You know, every other internet service provider seems to have a dog in that hunt, right? They all also are content providers. You are not. You have, that I know of, am I wrong?
We are not.
You're not. And so you don't care if I'm listening to, if I'm watching Netflix or Hulu or anything, you don't care. Streaming Jazz 90.1, which I do all day long. But yeah, so you don't care. And that's not your business. We see often enough that, not here in Rochester, I hasten to say, but in other cities, there are slowdowns for things like Netflix and Hulu in some cases.
Throttling,
exactly. And that does not happen here yet, certainly, and maybe never. But that would never happen with you guys.
Never, no. We're agnostic in that. And we've been pretty intentional about not putting a dog in that. Hunt, race, whatever you want to say. And I think our thing is we'll provide all the bandwidth anybody wants to do with it, what they want to provide, that it's legal, of course. But the, you know, whether it is in the streaming, you know, since we've started this over the last eight or so years now, the streaming technology has gotten so much better. The content available has gotten so much better. People are getting, you know, if you look at the Oscar nominations and the Emmys and everything else, it's all about what's being streamed because that content is so good and the
amazing
investments being made there are so good. So, you know, we're there to support whatever people want to watch. We don't throttle. We just, you know, we're all about providing more bandwidth and you know, a year ago we went from 100 megs to 500 megs as our base rate, and guess what? People are using it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's the other thing, though, I think, and which is, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Galisano, though, has the vision also to see where the future is going, because he is that type of guy. And to know that, you know, everybody now is literally, you know, cutting the cord, because it's all about the streaming. The TV stations and everything else want to do it over the internet. And the only way to do that a good way is through faster speeds. And I think he sees that this is going to be the future growth, if I'm not correct.
Oh, absolutely. And when we look at where the bandwidth is going, it's to those locations, it's to those sites. That's what people want. And that's one of the reasons we've been hiring more people and putting on more seminars in the community to assist people with cord cutting, because it can be very confusing, because there are so many choices, and whether that's in terms of the number of devices people are using and what services those are enabled on, we're trying to do more outreach in the community so that people really understand what's available.
Right. And it's interesting to me that with all of those choices that I don't get cut off for anything. We've seen on a number of cable systems, for example, Fox and who was it? Just recently, Fox took away their stations just before Super Bowl Sunday. Excuse me, the big game.
Yeah.
We're apparently not allowed to say Super Bowl anymore because that's
trademark.
Trademarked. But the idea is that they cut that off. And until
to force you to buy the next higher package.
You to buy the next higher package. But that isn't ever going to happen through you guys, because you have nothing to do with any of that. If I buy the NFL package and put that app on my whatever, then you'll stream to me and you don't care.
One of the ironies now is that there's too many choices. It used to be if you wanted TV, you went to your cable company, maybe satellite. But now you've got Sling TV and YouTube TV and Hulu TV and Fubo TV and all these other TV sources. Then you have the individual stuff from Netflix and a lot of networks, you know, Discovery Networks and History Networks. You can subscribe directly. So now that there's too many choices again, people are complaining. Well, you can't have it both ways. Well, right. I suppose right now you can. You can pay a lot and get everything in one place, or you can pay a little bit. And that becomes part of the trick of cord cutting, is you might have to switch your services and get one box to do this and maybe a different box to do that. But you end up saving money in the long run.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a call. Our friend Bob from Henrietta, New York. What's up, Bob?
Oh, good afternoon. Two questions. On the head-end device or the connectivity gadget, is that going to be a matted gadget, or is that going to present your public IP address to whatever I hook up to it?
That all depends. Well, so depending on your router settings and what you're allowing people to see or not see, generally speaking, I mean, what it's going to be likely from our end matted. So, I mean, unless you've got a static public IP that you're letting folks see, you shouldn't be able to, no one should be able to see that.
But you can buy a static IP through you guys.
You can buy a static IP.
But if I'm just a regular customer, the device that you provide is not going to give me my public on the inside interface?
Right. You're going to have I've got an 8-something address, but my internal network is 192.168.something. So your internal addresses are hidden unless you, in your router, forward something or buy a second IP or whatever. So okay, you have control.
So, the service I have with Brand X right now, I bought my own router, and even the ones that they provide will do this. Whatever device I hook up to it, a computer, gadget, whatever it is, it requests an address via DHCP, and I'm handed a public routable IP address for my external interface on my own router. Is yours going to hand me something like 192.whatever, or is it going to be a routable public?
No, it'll be a routable public.
Oh, good.
We use, so the standard we use now, just because of the IPv4 exhaust, is it will use carrier grade NAT. And so it's still a public IP address that you're getting, and you'll be able to route all that stuff. There may be some specific applications that you're going to want to use a static IP for, and as Nick said, those are available.
Yeah, there's ways around that, but as long as I get my public on my device, I'm happy.
Yep.
Well, then you'll be happy.
Is there any plan, do you know, in the internet community to stop supporting IPv4? I know we've run out of V4 addresses, and theoretically, as soon as everyone switches to V6, we'll be okay. But it took 40 years to get to V6 in the first place.
Yeah. There have been things that have been discussed over the years, and we're handing out public IPv6s, and those are available, and that everybody's getting those. I would say until, most of the major websites right now are V6. The user experience is better on V6. But for, if people have older equipment somewhere in the network, or the servers on the other side are only V4, I think until that really, all those things, that equipment starts phasing out, then you're going to continue to see V4.
All right, one more question. From your description of your build-out process, it sounds like you're partnering with third-party fiber carriers in some areas, so you may be going over networks that you do not have absolute control over.
Well, so we will, like as an example, to get from a town to town or city to city, we will use other fiber that is either leased or we may purchase. But everything in the neighborhoods is ours. Everything in most of the towns that we build out is ours. We just made the decision that rather than overbuild existing fiber that is, it's fiber. We're not leasing lit capacity from anybody else. It would just cost too much to go from city to city and be able to deploy that quickly. So that's the choice we made. And in terms of access and control or everything else, it's effectively just like having our own.
I would just be concerned with usage on some of your third-party carriers that you don't have absolute control over. 8 o'clock in the evening or something, everybody's busy, you might see bottlenecks and so forth. That'd be my concern there.
No, I can appreciate that. And our team, essentially, that fiber really is generally redundant fiber that's going in to connect our hub locations, not out to the neighborhood specifically.
And don't forget, Bob, they've got service level agreements, right? They have a minimum speed that they are guaranteed that they are paying for.
Yeah, but spitting on the sidewalk is illegal too, so that's not a guarantee.
Well, it kind of is. Yeah, well, and really the service levels really are about how fast they're going to show up to fix things and throughout the day and all those other things. So we're very comfortable with all those.
All right, well, thank you, and have a good day. Hope to see you around my neighborhood soon.
Thanks, Bob. Yeah, I know I have a little experience with fiber, very, very little, but from the back end, I mean. Fiber is fast. And there's a lot of capacity in a fiber line, 24 gig, 106 gig, the likelihood that you're going to run out of capacity in a backbone fiber is very low, certainly at the level we're at today, and certainly for the foreseeable future. And, of course, was it the state or was it the country that laid all that fiber along the expressway? I think that was the state, wasn't it?
That was private did that back in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was all private.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Mark Murphy, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. It is Soundbites. It is member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Is that all we're going to get?
I don't know. He's got it there, but...
All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Mark Murphy.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Mr. Mark Murphy, the president and chief bottle washer at Greenlight Networks here. And we also have, who did we say, Smiley from Rochester, New York. What's up, Smiley?
I got a few points there that I'll present to you, and then I'll listen to the results on the radio, because it's breaking up on my phone here. I don't know why.
Okay.
First of all, I handed out three of those booklets that they Greenlight has had over 100 sheets into them in my neighborhood. Also, there are areas out here in Henrietta that do have Greenlight and others don't. And I'm wondering, possibly, because of the area that we live in, even though I handed out all those what do you call it, because I live in between Channel 13 and RIT, and I'm pretty sure RIT don't need Greenlight. And I don't know about Channel 13, so maybe they figured this is a wasted area here and that. And so I'd like to know what the possible answers could be.
Sure. Did you have another question? You said you were going to ask several and then listen off the air.
Right. I'm going to listen off the air now.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Okay. Thanks.
So in terms of Henrietta and that area specifically, we actually have been doing a lot of the student housing in that area already. So we are providing a lot of service on in and around East River Road and in those neighborhoods. And I believe on our... even in the first 6 months, I think we've got a few neighborhoods in there that are coming up. Some of the delay I know in some of those spots are getting across some of the state roads. That permitting process does take a bit of time, and it's somewhat expensive. But I know we've got a number of areas in Henrietta that are on the map for expansion in 2020 for sure. So without knowing the specifics of where those are, and candidly, even if I knew them now, I'd have to get you a better answer. So feel free, if you want to email our support team, we'd be happy to take a closer look for you.
There you go.
One of the things that is interesting, and it's probably, as Nick was saying, the bureaucracy, is you see some of these sections, and there's a section that has a hole in the middle of it. And so it's probably something you can't get across the road, or you know, state utility or something you can't get through.
Well, as we said earlier, 99% of the time, it's bureaucracy. Certainly nothing to do with your technology or ability to run cable, except for...
Some town, the towns.
Bureaucracy, right.
Yeah, the towns can cause issues, too. I mean, just up the street there, Donuts Delight, what he went through, putting up with the town, putting, you know, just doing changes to a building, let alone a business like yours, you know, that's going all over the place, they can be buggers about it, being putting it politely. That they just, it's almost like they want to agitate you just to agitate you, for lack of a better term.
Right, right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Steve from Greece, New York. Hi, Steve, what's up?
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. I have actually a green light question and then another question for you guys.
Sure.
So I have gotten the good news that you're coming to install, and I sent in my confirmation. But I've noticed that on the website you say you don't recommend a Linksys router. Now, I spent a lot of money for a Linksys router last summer. Why is it all Linksys routers? Is it just a recommendation, or do you not even allow them?
So it's
a Linksys EA9300 Max.
Yeah, I think generally speaking, the routers that you see are ones that our technicians and engineers have tested, and that our tech support people have had some training in, so they understand how to do troubleshooting and things like that. I can't imagine that there's any router that we would necessarily not support, or at least not allow in the network per se. So I think what I would say is, if you've already bought it, try it. And if it's working fine, then it's working fine, and that's great. It just sometimes, It may be a firewall issue on there that might slow things down and not give you the best experience. It might be some other things on the wireless side. Our folks really are just looking at ones that generally start with high ratings from some of either the consumer reports or places like that that rates these things. They look at those, we test them, and that's what you see on the website.
The other thing that you have to remember is that for years, the lower end Linksys routers did not have a good reputation. The higher end ones did, but the lower end ones did not.
It was something about when Cisco owned them.
Right.
The high end Linksys routers were really low end Cisco routers.
Right. Right. for a long time, Linksys did not have a good reputation. But that's
you go to the big box store and there's the $39 Linksys router. Oh, I'll buy that one. No, please don't buy that one.
Yeah, please don't buy that one. But other than that, you shouldn't have an issue. And again, the folks at Greenlight don't care what router you put in. If there's a router problem, it's a router problem, not a network problem.
And the big problem we see is that people who have had internet service for a long time may only have wireless N or heaven forbid G. So if you're used to, in fact, we were talking about this with Dave before we went on the air. If you're used to 5 megabit DSL, you've got a 10 megabit Wi-Fi router. That's fine. But now suddenly you've got 500 megabit with Greenlight. Your 10 megabit router is not going to work very well.
It's not going to. Do it for you.
That 100 megabit switch that you've still got underneath some desk somewhere you forgot about?
I was, for the past week and a half, Mark, I got to let you know, I was going buggy because...
Well, it's not a long trip for him.
No, it's a very short one, as a matter of fact, from here to there. But literally, because I got it and it's going along good on my base computer, but then I go to my wife's and it's only around 100. I'm thinking, what's going on? And I kept thinking, trying to think of them. And it was literally last night in the middle of the night. Oh, holy ship. I thought of it. I went downstairs. The wife goes, what are you doing? I just thought of something. I pull her desk out. And there I had a small 5-port switch that was only 10-100.
Yep.
I go, here I've been beating myself up because I'm getting over 500 megabit and I couldn't get it out of there. And it was all because of my own mistake of a stupid switch that only do 100. It was doing its job. It was giving her 100 to that laptop, but that was all it was going to get.
Yep. All right, so, Steve, you had a second question?
A quick follow-up on that. Setting up, if my router doesn't work, setting up a... one that is more compatible is just like setting up any other router.
Yep.
Okay.
The basic idea is that the more expensive router you buy, generally two things. One, you get much better speed connectivity actually out of it with fewer like echoes and blah, blah, blah. But also it often has more features that you can get at as the user.
That's why I love that Orbi that you recommended. Yeah. I have been so happy with that.
Yeah.
I got the Orbi 50. It was a kit. It's literally the router that sits down in the basement. And then I've got what they call a satellite. And that went upstairs. And it was this hard, Steve. I literally plugged it in, took the satellite, plugged it in upstairs. And I had to do one thing that's going to confuse you. Hit one button on top.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it connected.
But what you have to understand, Steve, is that you don't have to do any of those other things.
Right.
You can just plug it in and it will work. But if you're the kind of person who likes to play around in his network, guilty. then a higher end router will give you more options.
Okay. Now, my second question is actually an immediate issue. Yeah. I took a job where... someone I know gave me 973 files, documents of their pages, RTF, TXT, DOCs, and wanted them all transferred to a DOCX. And I'm well into this project, and my computer crashed. I had a white screen, And now when I try to boot up, it says unplug the, and, you know, there's nothing plugged in. So I've got my Hirons disk, and I went out and got on to look for the data. But I can't seem to find the documents that I put in the document folder.
Now, you pulled this hard drive out.
Left it in the machine. Basically, I just booted it. Booted the computer with a Hirons disk.
I would recommend taking the hard drive out if you've got a second machine and hooking it up to there, because it might not be giving you the rights as administrator with that to see those files, especially in documents folders. That whole folder is...
Well, you could be in the wrong documents folder. Sometimes there's a... which OS are you running?
Windows 10.
10. Sometimes there's a user folder at the root of the hard drive, and that's the wrong one.
Yep.
You have to go into documents and settings sometimes to find the right user folder, and then you'll often see an admin user folder, and then your named user folder. So you have, the trick is finding the right documents folder.
Right. The other thing might be that in that computer, if you're lucky, the problem you're having is based on the hard drive controller, not the hard drive itself. And putting it in another machine would eliminate that as the problem.
Yeah. I've gone into BIOS to try to pick a different... it's directing to a Samsung boot, and I don't... That's not the correct one.
Yeah,
and I
no,
can't
see,
change it for some reason.
See, that's where if you put it into the machine as a second drive...
Right.
Your main drive now is the main controller. Since you have admin rights and all that to that machine, putting on the second drive, you'll be able to be grandfathered in and getting into the other files on that other drive.
Right.
I don't have another desktop, but I have a number of laptops. I could probably hook it up as an external drive.
Yeah.
That's probably your better bet.
I mean, nowadays you can buy, depending, is this a laptop or a full-size hard drive?
It's a half case.
All right. Well, you can get now these cases, external cases, that you can hook up.
Yeah, I've got a few of them.
Yeah, and hook it up, and boom, away you go, whether it's a 3.5 or a full size.
We've got
I don't even have to put it in the case. I just got to plug it in. And
right.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Even easier, yeah.
We've got a diagnostic chassis that we call the toaster, because you just slide your,
oh, yeah.
you slide
I've got
your
one
hard
of
drive down into
and
it
And it's
like
got
toast.
USB ports on it, too?
Yep.
A little bit of everything. Now, the other thing, Steve, and I hate to ask this. I'm hesitant to ask this. You do have backups, yeah?
I do have backups.
That's all right, then.
They're not necessarily current, but they're I have backups. Some of it's backed up. Basically, I back up once a week.
Yeah.
All right.
But I've been busy this week.
One thing I might suggest you try is if you have Google Docs, back up. Put all those documents in Google Docs, but make sure you've turned on Convert to Google Format.
Right.
Then, once they're all up there, and I don't know if that'll work with PDFs, but it should work with RTFs and text files and doc files, then you can download them as .docx.
All right.
Directly, and let Google do the work.
Oh, well, that would be much easier.
I've also found a couple of batch converters where you just point it to a folder full of files and it converts them all in one
shot. And Steve will put up a link to that as well.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm going to have to tell the guy I've got lots of hours and you owe me lots of money anyway.
Yeah, well, that's the way to do it. Yeah, absolutely.
And then...
Never tell him how long it really takes.
And then when it comes pledge time...
That's right.
You remember us.
I always remember you.
I know.
He does. Steve
you are
does.
The best.
Thank you,
thanks,
sir.
Steve.
All right, thank you very much.
Yep, bye-bye.
Bye.
Yep, work smarter by letting Google work harder. That's the way I always feel about it. So, yeah, we got time. Mark, how do you see... this is one of those silly questions. How do you see the internet landscape evolving in Western New York over the next decade? I know you can't say something like we expect to see this one go away and this sort of merge, you know, that sort of thing, but just in general terms.
Well, I think, you know, we will continue to expand throughout Western New York to the extent that customer demand allows us to do that. And, you know, at this point, Mr. Galisano continues to support that. And I expect he will. Spectrum, I don't believe is, I think they'll still be allowed to work in the state of New York. And so I don't think they're going to go anywhere. Obviously, Frontier's been in the news lately with a potential bankruptcy filing. You know, I don't think that will, that's not going to go away. I just don't think it's practical that the bankruptcy court is just going to let that go away. So I think somebody will come in and do something with those assets. What that is, I'm not sure. Right. But it would take just as big, if not a bigger investment than what we would have to do to get that in some type of condition that would be, you know, to the extent that people would want it to be. 5G, I think in upstate New York, we'll see how those deployments roll out. It's going to take a long time.
Now, that's internet 5G, not phone 5G.
It could either, I guess, either. Yeah. And so, you know, I think that'll be out there. I think a lot of the wireless carriers are now hedging that more as an Internet of Things technology, right, as opposed to necessarily a broadband replacement. And I think, you know, watching some coverage even of what they were doing in Davos over the last couple of weeks, they're really kind of looking forward to those next technologies, really, in terms of being able to get into the home and do, just because of the frequencies that they're dealing with.
But that requires a lot of antennas,
a lot of antennas, a lot of fiber. And so, you know, we think we're pretty well positioned. And obviously fiber continues to be the best media to provide the broadband, and people's appetite for bandwidth is going to continue to grow as the applications continue to get better and better. We're already offering a 2 gig service. We've got the ability to offer a 10 gig service. And right now, I think as we watch what happens, speaking of routers, as we look at kind of what happens in the consumer router space in terms of price points for people to get affordable 10 gigabit ports on those devices, as that happens, I think we'll probably look to go up the chain a little bit there.
There comes a point where you think to yourself, I've got enough bandwidth now. And then you think, no, I don't. No, I don't.
Well, that's no different than in the days, let's go back a little bit here, when we thought a 500 meg hard drive was all the space you were ever going to need.
Yeah, we used to just download 10 or 20 meg files on our modem, dial-up modems, and then we started downloading, you know, 100 meg files, and now we're downloading, you know, 10 gig movie files. As companies move into 4K and eventually 8K, one of the problems we hear all the time now, the Game of Thrones, the Dark episode.
Right.
It got compressed to heck at the other end, at HBO's end, to try to fit on everybody's cable system and internet service. And as more and more fiber gets laid and people get faster and faster service, they won't need to compress as much, and we'll start getting 4K uncompressed fairly well. In fact, I've been hearing that both Disney Plus and Apple TV Plus have among the best 4K looking video, because they're not compressing it so much that they're sort of killing some of the other streaming channels.
Right. But yes, and I've noticed that often when I'm watching a cable based program, whatever channel it happens to be on, if there's a dark scene or an explosion with smoke and stuff, it's nothing but a screen full of artifacts. They've compressed it so much that I don't even know what the hell's going on, frankly, until they get to a daylight scene. So I very much appreciate, and again, I don't have a 4K TV, but even on the TVs I do have, when I'm watching Netflix or Hulu or whatever, it looks so much better than cable, so much better, because there's no compression.
Right, and even if you weren't using our service and you just wanted to get over the air, that picture is generally better than what you're going to get on the cable TV with just a $20 antenna.
Right, because it's not compressed. Right. It's that simple. We have gotten complacent, I think. From the days, as Steve was saying, when, you know, dial-up was 300 meg and TV was just TV. What?
Baud.
Baud, 300 baud, yeah. Yeah, 300 baud. and moving on up from that. So when we see something like that, we think, well, it's just an artifact. So what? Who cares? But there's so much better out there.
All the fuzz we used to have to weed through on tennis.
Yes, yes. My father had a walkie-talkie, and I would be the guy in front of the TV. My father would be up in the attic turning the antenna. You puppies don't understand. The struggle is real.
You mean he didn't send you up on the roof to turn the antenna?
Not when I was six, but when I was 14, yes. Yes. But that's the reality. If you haven't seen the fast, uncompressed video that you can get nowadays, you really don't know what you're missing. And it's true.
Yeah. It may be worth it to run down to the store and get a $20 HD antenna. Just see what your TV can pull in from all the local channels. That's one of the big things about cord cutting. You want to get, you know, ABC, NBC, CBS, you know, the networks like that. But sometimes the local station isn't showing the network show.
Right.
And, you know, local telethons and whatnot, local news. So sometimes it's nice to have that antenna. And we constantly hear this because we sell the antennas in our store and show them off. We constantly hear from people who are saying, I can't believe how sharp and clear this picture is because it's uncompressed HD coming over the air right
exactly.
into your TV.
Exactly. And that's the same thing you'll get when you go directly using whatever, whether it's Netflix or Hulu or YouTube TV or any one of those over the network. And I have to say, it's so nice when my wife is watching something on Netflix and I'm watching something on Netflix, separate thing, and my daughter is watching something else on Netflix, talking to a friend over FaceTime or whatever thing she's using, and we're all on the network as well, and nobody even knows the other people are there. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
You're the perfect customer.
I am. It's great. And for somebody like me who does a lot of backing up of my system, backing up of my network, my web services and things like that, the fact that I can back up everything every night and back my stuff up to the network and do all of that quickly and easily and without ever worrying that it isn't going to happen. I mean, I've had green light for 5 years. It went out twice in that time, and once was somebody with a backhoe. So, you know, it's a great service, and it's very clean. And I get a lot of in my neighborhood. I'm in the shadow of Pinnacle Hill, so I get a lot of artifacts on cable, whether I like it or not. You know, it's not their service is not bad. I'm just getting a lot of crosstalk, even with clean cables. But I don't have any problem over fiber.
Yeah, it's interesting because the fiber plant, essentially, it's either on or off. So it's right. Either if it's working, it's working. If there's a cut, it's off. The tough thing with the other wired companies, whether it's copper or whether it's coax, is that if that squirrel goes ahead and starts chewing the outside of that cable and it gets exposed when it rains, when there's ingress from other things. And for those companies, it's really, really hard to track down those issues.
Yeah, I do. I get that. Every 2 years, I call them up and they have to replace my cable because of squirrels. All right. That music tells me you've wasted an hour of your life with this nonsense. But don't go away because you're going to get a chance to waste another hour of your life. We're going to take a slightly longer break, but we will be back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Mark Murphy, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites, right here on the Truly Great and Truly Grateful to You that we can continue to be member-supported Jazz 90.1. Take a quick bio break. I know I will, and we'll see you on the other side.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece, Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Instagram at WGMCJazz901.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Mark Murphy.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. And yes, we have Mr. Mark Murphy, who is the president, chief cook, and bottle washer at Greenlight Networks. And he's here to talk about the state of the industry and all the cool things that are happening there. So give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. But for those of you who are just tuning into this second hour, here's the rule. If you call to whine about not having green light in your neighborhood yet, we will hang up on you. That's just the way that works. We've spent an entire hour talking about how mostly the delays are bureaucratic, not the stuff that green light can do. There's a billion people with pliers out there. They could hire every one of them to just hook up everybody tomorrow, but that's not how it works. So there's that. And we did have a text message come in. People would like to know about your privacy policy and your data collection policy.
It's ours is pretty straightforward. We're not collecting data. We don't sell data. We don't give it to anybody else. The only people that would see any customer information are our employees or contractors that we send out to go to people's houses to hook them up.
Right. So they'll know, for example, Nick Francesco at whatever address is getting green light. That's really all they know.
That's right. And they're not allowed to do anything with it.
Right. And so you don't collect what websites I go to, any of that stuff.
No, we don't take it. The only thing in terms of network information that we use is we use the data to find out where, you know, how much data is going across given links to make sure that we've got enough capacity on those links and going to other locations. And it helps us design peering locations and where we're going to beef up certain connections.
Right. So to put it in terms of a throughway, what you care about is how many cars are going by per second, not where those cars are going.
That's right. Or who's in those cars or what they're doing in those cars.
Right. Just how many cars went by in this amount of time. That's all you care about. That's fair. That makes sense. And the person also asked versus other carriers, but unfortunately, we don't have any information on other carriers. So
no.
You'll have to ask them. That's how that works. All right. Our next caller is Ed from Canandaigua, New York. Hi, Ed. What's up?
Hey, guys. Well, fiber optic, I hope. But
yeah.
I do have a question for Mark, and that is, I live in a subdivision that was built around 05, and everything is underground. Am I destined to deal with the cable, or is there any chance? I mean, how do you handle those places where everything is subground?
So over the years, we've gotten much better in working with our contractors in materials and being able to do that. So we've actually got a number of contractors now. We don't do as much in the wintertime just because dealing with frost and plowing out the snow to get the drills and things on there, although we have been doing some. But, yeah, as long as there's enough interest in the neighborhood, we'll do it. And to that end, hopefully we're in a position now where we can do it in my neighborhood soon.
Does it take any more logistics to be able to dig up, to run the fiber and then fix everything and plant, you know, replant the grass and whatnot?
So the actual construction is more expensive. In especially depending on the density in the neighborhood. But, you know, the nice thing is, generally speaking, the municipalities in the area that we've been dealing with are welcoming us in there, have been good to work with and reasonable to work with. And as compared to having to get up on the utility poles, from a timing perspective, we can usually get things moving much more easily just working exclusively with the municipalities as opposed to having to deal with the pole owners.
Right, right. Makes sense to me.
Well, so there is some hope. I thank you for that.
Sure, thanks. One of the things that we should mention is that lots of people are extremely happy with whatever service they've already got. And there are levels of why that's true. Some people only ever do email and a few websites, and they don't need anything faster than whatever they get from somewhere else. Some people got a specific deal from an internet service provider for 2 years or 1 year or whatever at a low price for a speed that they're happy with. But certainly those of us who consider ourselves quote-unquote power users, and certainly people who have a house full of people doing streaming video, prefer and can make use of that fast internet speed. My daughter's already said, "Dad, can I have some friends over to do some gaming?" Yeah, honey, sure. It's fine. Just so you know, you're going to see a bunch of traffic from my house on Tuesday nights.
Well, I, as you know, we don't look for it. We don't monitor
care.
It, and I won't know what's going on.
But that's the beauty of fast internet from wherever you get it. If you're the sort of person who needs or just wants really fast connectivity to a video service or a game service or any sort of streaming service that's higher speed, higher bandwidth than audio, the faster you can go, the better you're going to be. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Tom from Brighton, New York. Hiya, Tom. What's up?
Yeah, hi. I've got two questions. One's a streaming service question. The other's a hardware question. I hope you can take them both.
Sure.
So first, the streaming question. Is there an app or some application or software where, let's say, because I just signed up for Greenlight, it won't take effect till next month, and is there an application that will help me select different services, because there's a lot of overlap between what they offer, where it can basically, I give them, let's say, a list of 13 or 15 things that I would like to watch, and then it can select the services that provide those programs at the lowest cost, rather than having me look at each of these services and select which one I want to take.
We actually have that on our web. There's links to some of those services on our website, and Steve's, I know, looking some up right now. But yeah, that is definitely out there.
Yeah,
I posted one. CNET has been doing streaming comparisons. I posted that one earlier today, so that's on our main website. There is specifically a service that does what you want, and I'm trying. There it is. Suppose is the name of it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Suppose.tv.
And you check a box of every single channel you want, and it tells you what service has those channels.
That's great. Thank you.
Now, that's by channel, not by show.
But yeah, network. Yeah.
Right, by network. So you need to know that CBS runs NCIS. You need to know that the History Channel has Forged in Fire. That's how that works.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be great.
Not that I watch those shows myself. Yes, I do. I watch both those shows. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the hardware question is this. I just got a solid-state drive, and it needs, the power. I have to connect my power supply. I have an older supply that has Molex connector, female connectors on it, but they're 5-pin connectors. So 5 pins from the Molex on the power supply going to a SATA type power supply on the SSD. And I have found that for the most part, there's almost nothing available, at least right now. This is a Corsair power supply, and everything has moved to 4 pins apparently, and I see nothing available for 5 pins.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything for 5 pins
in
a long time.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah, that's kind of archaic.
It's about a 9-year-old power supply.
Yeah.
Not all that old.
Yeah, that is that old.
Yeah, it is.
Sorry, but yeah, that is. Look, and that's inside your computer?
Yes.
That's inside your 9-year-old computer.
I built it myself, so it's, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I hope you're doing backups because.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sure. 9 years is ancient. You're talking about dog years. In computer years, you're
pushing it.
I grant you that, yeah.
Yeah. So I honestly have not seen a Molex to.
I mean, switching out power supplies are not that hard.
Well, Molex to SATA is easy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those.
But your solid state drive is not SATA, is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, well, there.
But the problem is on the other end, where it comes from the power supply, it's the power supply is 5-pin. It's a 5-pin Molex, and that's apparently not sold anymore. I looked all over the internet for it, and they're just not offered.
That's all 4-pin.
Yeah, 4-pin Molex.
Everything is 4-pin now, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man, I honestly don't know of one. I'm sorry.
The only thing is switch out power supplies.
Well, yeah, well, that's another $50 to $60 purchase.
Right, right. 50.
High-end power, it's a really, really good supply. I've got lots of...
Yeah, but here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
All right. Granted, yes, a power supply, you know, you could go the high end again. But since the machine is 9 years old, you know, even if you got a lower end power supply, you know, because just to get you through what you're trying to do, it would probably still work pretty well.
Yeah. I have found it suits my needs. It's plenty fast enough for what I'm doing. And if I can get another 2 or 3 years out of it, then I'd be satisfied with it.
Yeah, I'm seeing different connectors on Molex's own website where you buy the connector and solder it up yourself.
Oh, I can make it myself, yeah, if I had to. Yeah. Okay.
Get out the soldering iron.
All right. Thanks again.
I found one on eBay.
Yeah.
No. They lied. It's not.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man.
That's ancient.
Even if you can find a 4-pin Molex to 5-pin Molex, right?
That's true. That would work also. Yeah.
Yeah, I just haven't. Man, oh man!
But nothing is easy in this world, is it?
No. I can't figure out what the fifth wire is doing.
Yeah, that's a good question too.
I mean, because you got normally your power, your neutral,
right?
And then like you know, your two data, which is you know transceive and. Transmit and receive.
Maybe one of them is like plus 5 and the other is plus 12. I see some drives
could
be want one or the other, yeah.
For converting.
Both Alibaba and...
Oh, yeah, there's 5 wires going between the Molex and the SATA.
Yeah.
Where's the fifth wire going to the...
going to the SATA power connector on the SS.
So, yeah, I think you're right, Steve. Then it is probably either going for the power... It's a power source.
I found one on Amazon that's got a whole bunch of different ends, including a 4-pin and a 5-pin.
Yeah.
They call it a 5-pin to 3X.
Molex,
but it's a 4-pin Molex. Okay. 4 at one end, and then it's got the micro 4, and then it's got the 5.
Okay. If I can get a 5 to 4 Molex adapter, that would work out great.
That would work out too, yeah.
Okay,
check out.
Good job, thank you.
I don't know if those they're pretty much getting out of everything, but Goldcrest
may have something.
He might have something there. He's going out of business, so I don't know how much he's got there. But you could call him and ask.
Yeah, I heard you talk about it last week. Maybe I'll give him a try.
He's one of the last electronics store for any of us that like to play around with.
Yeah, it's a big loss for us. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks. Have fun. Good luck. That's tough. When you know, 9-year-old technology, that's hard.
Yeah.
God bless him. He's kept his machine running that long, but finding the right stuff for it is a problem, and I get that. Speaking of which.
Yes.
Leads right into my news item.
Good segue.
Speaking of 9-year-old technology,
could this be maybe Windows 7?
It could be. In fact, Shockingly,
it is.
All of the major antivirus software makers plan to continue supporting their products past the Windows 7 end-of-life date. Most vendors, with a few exceptions, have confirmed that their products will continue to run on Windows 7 systems for at least 2 years until 2022, December of 2021, really, ensuring that Windows 7 users have security products at their disposal to protect their systems. I don't know why you're still running Windows 7, but if you are, you can at least be protected. Don't go there.
They could have turnkey software.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. The only ones who are still eligible for Windows 7 security updates are enterprise customers. However, that program, known as the Extended Security Updates, is only available for select businesses and comes with a pretty hefty price tag. Many small and medium-sized businesses, along with all home customers, are not eligible for the Windows 7 Extended Security Updates program, meaning they'll have to look into installing an antivirus software in order to ward off attacks and malware strains that may try to take advantage of the next new Windows 7 bugs, which are still coming out. Remaining on Windows 7 without signing up for Extended Security Updates incurs significant security risks. Microsoft has advised companies to migrate to Windows 10 and has started nagging Windows 7 users to do so using pop-ups and full-screen adverts starting next year. We're also suggesting take a look at Chromebooks, Linux, and Macs. But if you insist on staying on Windows 7, please check out the Windows 7 special page on the Security Tango, which you can either get from the menus under Windows Software or at securitytango.com/win7. .php.
See, that's the problem. The company that I work for, we're still on Windows 7.
Yeah, I get it. If it's a proprietary piece of software,
well,
and
it's
you're
also,
willing to...
But no, the other factor into this is nonprofit. You know, they got to get the funds
right.
to do this. And, you know, as we've said before, you know, the price of poker keeps going up.
Right.
But some folks don't have unlimited budgets to always go up to the next thing. And it's this, you know, the hardware and it's kind of doing what it's got to do. And I've told them for a long time, you're on an ancient operating system, but it is what it is.
Windows 10 has been out for 5 years, so there has been some time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No,
And for those of you who are interested in getting that information, if you go to the Security Tango and look under the Windows Software menu, the bottom thing is Windows 7. And if you go to that page, I list, I believe it's 25 antivirus malware, anti-malware manufacturers who will support Windows 7 at least until December of 2021. I think that's the latest date.
For now.
Yeah. Microsoft Security Essentials will continue to offer signature updates, but not program updates, which means that very, very soon you will be vulnerable.
You're flirting with danger.
Yeah,
let's put it that way.
You certainly are that. So my suggestion is if you absolutely insist on continuing with Windows 7, make sure you have an anti-malware program that will support Windows 7 and will continue. And that doesn't mean it just runs on Windows 7. It means it will also continue to update on Windows 7. And there's a list of 25 of them there. So you should be able to get them. And please take a look at my notes there. We have no guarantee how long these companies will actually support Windows 7. This is based strictly on what the company said, yesterday is when I put this page up. It's based on that. We have no idea how effective their protection will continue to be. If you continue to use Windows 7 or any of these products, you are most definitely on your own. We do not endorse any of these products for use with Windows 7. We suggest that you stop using Windows 7. That's our suggestion.
My computer decided for me.
Oh, did it finally?
No. Well, And I was thanking Mark again. That was the only saving grace was all the software that I had to re-download. I was doing it at, you know, great speeds, and I was dreading it. I literally got it done in half the time.
Yeah.
Well, I am now off of Windows 7. The machine is just sort of sitting there in the corner. I'll gut it out later, and who knows, do what with it.
Right. Steve Gibson even said that he's made his peace with Windows 10 and is going to rebuild his computer now.
Wow.
And upgrade to Windows 10. But since he's a Microsoft developer, he has access to a special version of Windows 10 that comes with no crap in it.
Right.
And so it's just pure Windows 10, no Candy Crush Saga.
Mine didn't come with that either. The only thing that's annoying...
It's there, you're just not seeing it. Trust me.
Their Windows Defender and all this other stuff that I had to go in and turn off because I like to use my own stuff.
Right.
And just like the spyware and the antivirus software and all that.
Right.
I want to use ones that, I can rely on being updated.
Right.
I like that reassurance with Super Anti-Spyware and Malwarebytes that I get that notice all the time because I pay for the subscription that it's doing its thing. Not when, Microsoft gets the feeling, warm, fuzzy feeling, to do something. Maybe we'll update this month.
Right.
Maybe.
Right. What's interesting, and I've talked about this before, I have a product called pCloud, and I get 500 gigabytes. They had a lifetime deal, 500 gigabytes, lifetime, one-time payment, and they've doubled the price now, but it's still cheap. And everything I save in my documents folder goes up into that cloud automatically. And the first time I did it, it went so fast that I thought it didn't work. But what it's nice to be able to say, like I've said before, I'm a belt and suspenders guy. I've got 5 separate places out on the internet that I save all my data. And not only that, but all my websites are saved in at least 2 places. And the ability to do that fast for a guy like me, power user, quote unquote, is important. So having that kind of ability is very nice.
Well, I just, again, through the green light, and this made it a lot easier for me, even doing my updating, because I have gone to Google Docs a while ago.
Yep.
But my wife had close to 42,000 photos.
Yeah.
And what she does is she goes around and takes pictures of headstones for Find a Grave. I literally grabbed them all and shoved them up there.
Into Google Photos.
Google Photos. And they're there now. So if anything ever happens to her machine, I don't worry about it.
Yep.
Just like mine. I didn't have to worry about it because everything was I put up there and it's... I don't have to worry, that document's lost. Now I got to recreate it. No, it's up there.
Yep.
So it's good.
Yep. And it's for those of us who value our data, the ability to back it up and get it back again quickly and easily, and particularly with something like pCloud and Google Docs and everything else, the ability to do that without even having to think about it, because it's all automated now, is a beautiful thing. All right, that music tells me it's time to take a quick break. But we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Mark Murphy of Greenlight, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites. This is member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1, turn your radio down. 2, turn your radio down lower. 3, remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4, make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5, calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6, if you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7, is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve, next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Mark Murphy.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. And yes, we have Mark Murphy from Greenlight here to talk about the state of connectivity in Rochester, New York. But in the meantime, we have Ed from Rochester, New York on the line. Hi, Ed. What's up?
Hi. I just want to know if you could clarify something, if I'm missing something. If I've got a device and I've got it to tell it automatically whatever I do to back stuff up to the cloud. When you say, for example, if you're going to do anything, be sure your data is backed up. Isn't that sort of redundant? You're backing up a backup?
No. What we're saying is make sure the data on that main machine is backed up somewhere before you do something to that main machine.
And check your backup drive to make sure it actually worked.
Right. And the other thing is we tend to tell people that they have to have multiple backups because any one device can die. And that at least one of those backups should be off-site, preferably just somewhere in the cloud, because God forbid something happens to your entire house, you'll still have those data somewhere.
So yes, it is redundant in that aspect.
Yes. You want redundancy. You want multiple backups, whether you back up the main device several times or you copy the backup from one place to another is irrelevant. What's important is having multiple backups in multiple places and at least one of those places being the cloud.
And we've had
is it all-encompassing? If it's in the cloud, do you trust the cloud that much that, say, if you lost your phone or whatever?
No, I've got my stuff in at least three places in the cloud.
Yeah,
one cloud service. When I say the cloud, it's really a server out on the internet somewhere. And if one of those servers dies, I've still got two others.
Or that service shuts down or changes their terms. You know, Microsoft used to give you unlimited storage on their cloud service until several people tried using unlimited
storage.
Actually
used it, yeah.
And then, so now you only get, you know, 100 megs or whatever it is, 7 gigs, I think it is. And so you never know when that other service is going to go down. So having a local backup drive, you know, with your computer and then backing up to one or two cloud services, especially several of them that give you some space for free. We let Google Docs, because if you upload files in Google format, they don't count. Google Photos below a certain resolution don't count towards your 15 gigs that Google gives you for free. And so having different services like that is important too. One of the things that some people forget, and we just had a customer go through this, that, you know, fire, flood, theft in your house, you lose your computer and your backup drive sitting right next to the computer. And especially in the case of a fire, maybe the fire is on the other side of the house, but there's enough smoke that fills the house.
Yep.
Or the water they use to put out the fire on the second floor drips down into your computer room and destroys your main computer and your backup drive. So that's why it's good to have that offsite cloud backup. But it's also good to check it every now and then, Nick is every day at least, sometimes more, to make sure the backup is working and not just check the date of the last backup, actually open one of the backed up files and make sure it's readable just in case something goes wrong in the backup. We had one poor customer. We felt so bad. He lost his Quicken file, so all his checkbook information. So he brought in this stack of CDs he had and for years he's been burning CDs of all his data. And every CD we opened was a shortcut to the Quicken application. He wasn't even backing up his data file. He was backing up a shortcut to the application.
Yeah.
And so make sure you can open your backup file, and it's really what you think it's supposed to
what
be.
What I always suggest to folks is take like Steve was saying, the best way to test it is select a file that's in a folder, copy it to another temp folder, and then erase it in the original folder. Then go to your backup and try restoring and see if it actually puts it back there.
I see. So would there be something besides Google that you'd suggest?
Well, like I said, pretty much everything else you're going to pay for. I use a service called pCloud, pcloud.com. You folks don't offer, the folks at Greenlight don't offer anything like that. No, and that makes sense.
Now, with your pCloud, that's just storage, or do they also have a program?
There's a program that you download to your Windows, Mac, Linux desktop.
Yeah, because a lot of times there's two halves. It's the storage at the other end, and then the program you run on your computer to, say, put all my files on the cloud.
Right. So I have a program on my machine that runs in the background. Every time I add a file to my documents directory, it backs it up automatically to the cloud.
Mm-hmm. And there are many online backup services. I'll put up another link to a comparison. Carbonite, Backblaze, CrashPlan are probably three of the more well-known, bigger ones.
Right.
And then every now and then you see a deal. PCloud was offering, what, 500 gigs, did you say?
Yeah, 500 gigs for $75. It's now much higher than that. Not much higher, actually. Not much higher, but higher. I jumped on that deal when it was available.
Carbonite's pretty reputable, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely it is. Absolutely it is.
And one of the big things...
You mentioned that nobody ever thinks that they're going to have a fire in their house and the computer and the... that's an excellent point. You know?
Yeah.
Off-site means off-premises, I guess, right?
Right. In another building. Yeah. Even we've had some people will swap between work and home, but then you have to make sure you check into your work's policies. A lot of people who work in like a secure office building, they're not allowed to bring their own data in and out, and so you have to worry about that too.
Very that's excellent point. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Yeah, it's you okay? There's a I put a web page on Ask Nick. We put that up there a couple of weeks ago. AskNick.com/ I think it's just backup. Ask Nick. No, you got to spell Nick right, of course. .com/ Oh, backup.php. /backup.php. And we put that on our website, too, a while ago. The very first thing it says is something I have believed since the day I became a system administrator. You do not have enough backups. You simply do not. I don't care how many you have. You don't have enough. And so you need more. And there's a whole list of backup software on that page. As Steve's putting up a link. And it talks about Windows, the Mac, Linux, Android, and iOS. So every operating system, except Chromebooks, where it's all in the cloud already anyway. It talks about each operating system and several products, their cost, and the benefits of each one of those. So you might want to check that out to see what backup options are available. And we'll go back to the phones, and we'll talk to Nick from Batavia, New York. Hiya, Nick. What's up?
Hi there, guys. Happy to say I'm a supporter of 90.1. And
Thank you.
I'm putting a television in my guest room, okay? And I bought a Fire Stick, and I've got TV and everything. And I realized my router is, like, more than 10 years old. So you guys were talking earlier about, how much you're... I was wondering if you could recommend some names in a router. And then a question for Mark is, do you have any plans for Batavia?
Okay, so we'll allow that question because it wasn't whiny. and it was a generic question.
Yep.
But before that, as for routers... as we said, there are a number of companies that make really good routers. Don't buy a cheap one. You know, under $50 is probably not a particularly good router.
I still am sold on the Orbi.
The Orbis are amazing. I've had an Orbi for a couple of years now, and it's amazing.
They're part of a new system coming on, becoming popular now called Mesh, and there's Orbi, which is from Netgear. There is Eero. Which is not from Amazon.
Right.
And
Google.
Google, that's right. One or the other buys everything.
Right.
And then Linksys, I forget what they call theirs. So in the olden days, a router traditionally was just one box that you tried to put somewhere centrally, and it created this sphere of radio for you. We have wanted to have more wireless devices and getting more areas in our house that need to have connectivity, it's gotten to be where sometimes your router's not in a good place to reach the other end of the house. And so people used to put repeaters in. Well, repeaters never worked very well. They would split the signal in half because you needed the back channel going back to the main router. So the mesh networks help with all of that. And they're fairly easy to set up you still have your main router, but you put your mesh satellites around the house, and they can be full speed then because of the way the mesh technology is working.
The other thing, if you're looking into those, one interesting feature of the Google Mesh network is that each of the satellites is in fact a Google Home device. So they'll do the speaker stuff, and you can ask them things and all the other stuff that a Google Home does. And if that's interesting to you, that's a bonus for that particular device. And now on to Mark for Batavia and Leroy and on over.
So right now there's no plans for Batavia in 2020. Our focus is really going to be continuing to build out the rest of the greater Rochester area and then get into the Buffalo region. So right now I would say the leading candidates in Buffalo specifically would be the city of Buffalo, Cheektowaga in terms of interest levels we've seen doing really well, North Tonawanda, Lancaster, I would say are the top four municipalities in terms of the interest we've seen in the last month since we announced. But right now Batavia's not on our 2020 list.
And one of the things that is a problem here in America generally is the rural desert of internet connectivity. You know, you get to places that only have one provider, and that provider gives you what you get, and that's all you get. So without the other companies in there, you have a problem.
There is a company called Empire Access that has been dealing with a lot of these outlying areas. We've got several people who work with us out in the boonies, and they say they have access in Batavia. They have a check availability button like everybody else, so it depends on where in Batavia you happen to be. But they do offer 100 megabit fiber for Batavia area.
Nice.
So sometimes there's another, you know, they're probably like a green light that working through those areas.
So Steve will put up a link to that for you.
Nick, I've written it down. Don't bother.
Yeah. Well, he's going to put it up anyway because that's what we do.
Okay.
Looks like they're based in Prattsburg. So working their way out through upper New York.
Yeah.
Upstate.
Prattsburg or Plattsburgh?
The charming Prattsburg.
Oh, Prattsburg. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It wouldn't make any sense to be Plattsburgh.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I just didn't hear. I thought I didn't hear it right, and I didn't. So that works out. All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Doug. Bye, dear.
Yep.
Yeah. So a lot of times, in fact, that's becoming what's nice now is that there are more providers than your phone company and your TV company moving into your areas as well.
Nice for everybody but the providers who are already there.
Yep.
and actually, you brought up earlier that based on your survey, there were a lot of people very happy with their provider.
Right.
And I think ultimately that's what competition does. People find what works for them, what's priced right for them, and what the service level they want works for them. So I think, you know, there are people that are happy with Spectrum, and that's great. And we seem to get a lot of people that are really happy with our service, which is also great. And even talking before about the cord cutting and the options, I think what's really nice about that now is you don't have to sit at home and wait for somebody to come and change out your cable provider or put a dish on your roof. You can try something for a month, and when that show's over, you can switch to something else.
I have a friend who has spent 1 month on HBO to watch Game of Thrones, 1 month on Disney Plus to watch The Mandalorian, 1 month here, 1 month there, and that's how he does it. And he, you know, he doesn't really have a life, so he's probably listening. I'll hear about
it.
He was listening. That'll be the kind of thing that he does. And you're right. It certainly costs less than always being on that service. You know, I have family that I have to deal with, so I have several services that I'm currently paying for. But that's a separate issue. You know, that's a home-to-home issue. But you're right. A lot of people buy a series. And you can do that at Apple by just buying the series, You can do that on a lot of services that way, or you can just buy the service for a month, watch it, and quit. Yeah. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Stan from Webster, New York. Hiya, Stan. What's up?
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'll try to keep it quick because I have two questions. First is I'm dealing with, from a couple weeks ago, you guys mentioned the issues with Windows 10 needing the latest security updates.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do that. It's popping on my screen right now. I've been trying to update all the computers in the house here, but the problem with this one computer is that it just doesn't seem to want to, like, work. I have that blue spinning wheel, which is constantly circling around thinking.
Yeah.
It says that I need to, like, free up at least 8 gigabytes.
I was just going to say, yep.
And the only other issue here is that I'm, you know, not sure how valuable it is to try and do it with this computer because this laptop is, I would say, close to 9 years old now.
Right. It certainly can't hurt to do it, particularly as the last update was a high security update. So your best bet is to go through your machine and in both the temp and TMP directories, delete everything it will let you delete. It may stop and not allow you to delete a certain file. Skip that file. Delete everything else in the temp directories. Remove files you don't need anymore. Back them up somewhere else.
The downloads folder is another one to go through. A lot of people download stuff, install it, and then forget the installer is still there.
Right. And make sure you have that 8 gig because that is the minimum. Better to have 10 or even a little bit more, but you definitely want to have at a minimum that 8 gig in order to do the backup. Okay, what's your second question?
Second question is just in regards to, like, the age of the laptop itself. I mean, as I said, it's almost 9 years old. I mean, is it still considered, you know, something that's, you know, worth continuing to use? Or, I mean, do you guys, like, ever consider, like, the, you know, the age of a certain, you know,
always
product? And say, when's the time to retire it?
Always. The longer, look, hard drives have a five-year mean time between failure. That is to say, the average hard drive lasts 5 years. If your hard drive has lasted 9 years, you should be hearing tick, tick, tick in your head every time you turn on that laptop. That's the clock winding down on what that machine is going to, when that machine is going to die. You really need to make sure, A, you've got absolutely rock-solid backups in multiple places, and B, it may be time to take a look at a new machine.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Absolutely.
It's always much easier to replace your computer before it dies than after it dies.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's definitely an older laptop. I have a newer one that I do use, but I have used this in the past, like with all of my college work and, you know, old you know, work that I use as a teacher. So I'm trying to use, you know, it's kind of more like as a, you know, a place to store some of the files that I don't need currently.
Well, but storing stuff on a nine-year-old machine is probably not your best idea. My suggestion is you buy a bunch of high-end thumb drives, save your stuff to that, and get as much as possible backed up in multiple places. Maybe take a look at that backup page on my website and find an online storage solution. Move it all up to Google Drive, whatever you got to do, but every time you even look at that laptop, you should hear in the back of your head, tick, 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 tick.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for your time, and thank you for everything you do all the time or every week.
Love to hear that. Thank you so much. All right, that's it. That music tells me you've wasted 2 hours of your life, and we're done for the week. I absolutely want to thank Dave Enright and Steve Ray, but I mostly want to thank Mr. Mark Murphy, president of Greenlight Networks, for coming here and generously donating his time to us and having a lot of fun with us here today. I apologize to everybody who didn't get on. You got to call earlier. But we're done for the week. We'll be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest running computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites right here on the Truly Great, and truly grateful to you that we can remain member supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in just 166 hours. Be good to each other. Bye-bye.